and ask you a question just for you to answer to yourself and answer it honestly. What three words best describe your will? Your will, when it's given free rein to seek whatever it wants. What three words describe it? Your will. For myself, the three words that came are erratic, selfish, destructive. What three words describe God's will? What is God's will? What three words best describe it? God's will is salvific. God's will is unchanging. And God's will is intimate. The church fathers often use the image of the hand of God when they spoke about God's will. They would come back to this image and you see it again and again in all the key moments in salvation history. In creation, God formed everything with his hands, even humanity. Adam himself he formed from the dust with his own hands. That he brought the Israelites out from Egypt by his mighty hand, he brought them, crushing with his own hand the enemies before them. That God's hand was upon King David, who was anointed. The Lord's hand was upon him, guiding him. And the fathers point to Eden as well. That in the Garden of Eden, just before this passage that we hear of God walking in the garden, and the fathers speak of Adam and Eve before the fall, that they would walk in this Garden of Eden hand in hand with God. And they would point to Eden, the reality of the Garden of Paradise, also as symbolizing our souls and the garden of our soul. And what existed there, this state of grace before the fall, where we were hand in hand with God, his will and ours. And there was a peace and a rest for humanity there. But in the fall, it was a fall from grace. And Adam and Eve, in the inexplicable enigma of sin, they took and they grasped at something, desiring to make themselves like God. They took and in the fall of sin, they divided themselves, and all of a sudden you see this playing out within them, and you see it all throughout with sin. There becomes this continuous grasping and flailing about and clutching at whatever it can. It's like someone whose coat is tumbling down a snowy mountain where you start falling and you start tumbling down. And you're grasping and you're flailing for anything you can grab onto. A tree branch, a little shrub, a rock. As you just keep tumbling and tumbling down this mountain. And this is the state of humanity after the fall. God's will and God's hand, which we had been united with, we freely took and grasped at other things. And it became this flailing and this fall into the pit of nothingness from which we had been formed. It was this fall into the pit of hell. Following in all honesty with the natural conclusion of giving our own wills free rein leads to. If we're honest about it, our will on its own leads to flailing, falling into the pit of nothingness and hell. But God saved us from this. He saved us from this because his will is unchanging. And God's will And his plan was not destroyed by the sin, but his will, which was desiring from the very beginning union with humanity, is now a salvific will, which everything that God wills in your life, everything that you receive in your life, whether it's a blessing or a cross, is for the sake of your salvation. God's will is salvific and it's unchanging. Meaning, even if you fall off the path, even if you go on and stray off, that doesn't change God's will for you. He wills one thing for you, your salvation, and through you, the salvation of others. That's his will in your life. It's unchanging and it's intimate. Adam and Eve, after the fall, what are they left? What's the effect of sin? They're left naked and exposed. The new Adam, how does he undo this? That Jesus, the new Adam, he himself upon the cross, naked and exposed, the effect of sin, he undoes the fall. And what does he pray upon the cross? Whereas Adam and Eve and all of humanity, where we had been like this, hand in hand with God, in union with him, we had detached ourselves from it and grasped and flailed about in our sin and fallen. Jesus, upon the cross, naked and exposed, prays, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he unites us, united with him, back into the hands of the Father. And St. Paul speaks in his letter to the Corinthians, he speaks of this overflowing grace that we receive from God. It's grace that we receive freely offered from the hand of God. A grace which St. Paul speaks about, which should banish from our hearts any discouragement. And it's a grace which continually renews us in this union with God. God's will is not one which our will and all the problems we got in it, all the stupidities which guide our own will, God's not out to crush it. He's not out to crush it. That's what sin does as it tumbles down the mountain of perdition, hitting rocks and trees and everything down into the pit. What God seeks to do is to take our will, he comes to it, but for us to receive grace freely from his hand and to be united with his will, so that his will is one with ours and our will is one with God's will. His will for us is salvific. One of the advantages of getting older, which I am, and you are too, every day you're getting older, is after you've lived for a little while, over decades, you can see long stretches of life lived out. Not just your own, but other people's lives. And there's one person who came to mind and stood out in this way. We'll call her Mary. That's not her real name, but it's very fitting for the way in which you watch a person's life and the way that it can sometimes grow in holiness. I've known Mary for 3 decades now. From her being in her middle age, you know, just in her 50s. And she's vigorous, filled with energy, filled with life, spirited. But seeing her over like these 30-some years, from the first time I'd known her, her and her husband, they were just new empty nesters. And so this whole new stage in their life they're entering into, soon after that retirement, very quickly after that her spouse died suddenly and all the dreams they had for retirement changed all of a sudden. And then herself getting sick into assisted living and then into the nursing home. And the thing that stood out and stands out for Mary about Mary, and this was, I think, is the mark of her holiness, is the way in which, in the midst of all of that, she lived gracefully. She aged gracefully. Meaning, in all these different stages, she was never holding on to the past, clinging on to the past, whether her kids as they were leaving home, even her husband after he died, all the pain and sorrow in that, but she continually, and this is the way she continually spoke, she's like, he's in God's hands now. You know, they're in God's hands now. And even the transition into the nursing home. And, you know, 30 years, someone goes from midlife to now being in their mid-80s and very sick, but still alive. And the last time I visited her, she said, you know, I'm ready to go home to God. I'm ready. And I wonder why he doesn't take me, but I know he wants me here for a reason. And so she says she just keeps on placing her prayers into his hands. She keeps placing her sufferings into his hands. And she's able to live gracefully, age gracefully. And if you want the secret to dying gracefully, this is the same as well. There's a holiness within her because there's God's hands that she's placed herself in, knowing that it's only in the present where God's will is. Yes, he was in the past. Yes, he will be in the future. But not clinging and holding on to the past and not clinging for the future of like, oh, I just wish I could go to heaven, or waiting for that next stage in your life. Like, once you get to that next stage in your life, then things will be better. Then you'll know God's will more clearly. Maybe, maybe not, probably not, in fact. But God reveals his will to you daily. And it's to receive from his hand whatever it is that he's offering you in that day, whatever he places in your life, because he gives you the grace for it as well. And everything that he gives you, his will is for the sake of your salvation and the salvation of others. You're not meant to live your life grasping and flailing about, reaching out and trying to grab anything that you can. That's sin and the effect of it. You're meant to walk with God. You're meant to walk with him as a disciple, praying, Lord, your will be done, step by step, day by day, placing yourself in his peace, in his grace, and in his hands.